WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Hey, Chicago, Science Friday is coming to town. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The team behind the weekly science educational program will be hosting a live event on Sunday, October 29th, in collaboration with WBEZ and MindWorks. Yours truly will also be there, too. So we had to invite SciFry host Ira Flatow to Reset to get a preview of the special broadcast and to get to know the voice behind the program a bit more. There might be some of you out there who have been listening to SciFry for years. The program's been around since 1991, and I asked Ira to take us back to before Science Friday.
Well, I actually started as a science reporter at the NPR back in the 1970s. I actually started working year one of NPR. 1971 when they went on the air the first time. Yeah. And so I was NPR's first science reporter in the mid 70s. And then I did that for about 17 years.
Oh my God. Do you remember your first story? What did they have you cover?
I do. The most famous story I did as a science reporter there was why do wintergreen lifesavers spark in the dark? And, you know, if you go into the bathroom and you take a wintergreen lifesaver and you chew on it and uh-huh. look in the mirror, you'll see a little spark.
Really?
And so that was so popular. We got more mail on that for the next 10 years than anything else that
wow.
was covered.
I'll have to go look it up for sure and get all the details. But I understand, I mean, this is a lifelong interest in science, right? Like you've been interested in
yes.
this topic since you were a kid. Where did it come from originally?
I don't know. I was one of these kids who was in the basement doing experiments. You know, I remember I had an eighth grade teacher, Mrs. Pfeffer, like central casting name, who had a science club after school, and we used to do science experiments. And I brought one of them home with me one day and tried to recreate it at home mm-hmm. and almost burned down my mother's bathroom trying to recreate. So
oh, no.
I don't know where it comes. It's just it's just curiosity, you know?
Yeah.
People are really curious about how the world works.
Yeah. Were your peers like that too at that time? Were they interested
yeah.
in science?
No. But you know, the dirty little secret about science is that everybody is really interested in science. If you just don't say, are you interested in science? If you ask them about how things work, sure, I want to know how that works.
That's true.
I want to know. Yeah. I want to know where we all came from, where we're headed, what the universe is made out of, what goes on inside my body.
Yeah.
We're all interested in that stuff.
That's
and
very
as
true.
Little and as little kids, we're sort of born as natural scientists. We go crawling around even before we can walk, and we start doing little experiments with the world around us, you know, trying to fit stuff in, and mm-hmm. does that work, and how does the testing out gravity, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know? So we're all interested early on.
Yeah, that is so true. And now I think about the fact that you're sharing all these educational stories about science and technology. You're doing it on this grand scale to thousands of people every single week. I mean, when you were younger, I mean, how were you sharing science with folks around you then?
Well, I always love science trivia, which means learning about little bits of things of how the world works, like how long does it take the sunlight to reach the Earth, or how old is the Earth? Where do rocks come from? And I would talk about it with my friends or find friends who were equally interested. I would do science fair projects and team up with friends of mine. And you find out when you talk to people and even your friends, They may think you're a little geeky or nerdy, but mm-hmm. they're kind of jealous that you're interested in this stuff and they're not, because it's all this great little bunch of trivia that you learn.
Yeah, I loved doing science fair projects back in the day, for sure. I want to fast forward, though, to the start of Science Friday. I'm curious about the origin story.
Well, I had an idea back in, let's say, 1989. I saw that there were all these talk shows going on around in commercial radio. And being a science person, I wanted to do a science talk show. And I had just left NPR at that time to go out and do television. I was doing a show called Newton's Apple on PBS. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to get back into radio. And I said, what would be interesting in radio? Let's do a talk show. And so I came to NPR and they said, that's a good idea. But what do we do with the rest of the week? I'm going to give you one day of the week. What do we do with the rest of the week? And I said, I'll figure that out. And actually, the Gulf War came to my rescue, because during the Gulf War in 1990, NPR created this talk show called Talk of the Nation. And that we got to be the fifth day of that Talk of the Nation Science Friday. And we got our talk show on the air. And when NPR discontinued Talk of the Nation, we were still around. So we went somewhere else. And Science Friday is still alive and kicking in its 33rd year.
That is wonderful. I mean, was the program something that you felt had the support at the beginning? Or did you feel like you had to fight for it? I know they were sort of curious about the one day a week scenario.
Yeah. I don't think I could do that again now if we had to do it from the beginning.
Yeah.
But people, there was a huge audience. I mean, we now have almost, we're three stations short of 500. So
wow.
we have almost 500 stations listening. We don't have to talk them into taking us, right? Mm-hmm. They just like to know how the world works, and people are just naturally curious about it. And from day one, we've had a huge audience. So it just shows to go, that the dirty little secret is that people do love science.
And you've done so many things throughout the years, Ira. I'm sure a lot of folks remember your appearances in The Big Bang Theory. Let's listen for a refresher.
This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. My guest today is responsible for the discovery of the first stable super heavy element. Welcome, Dr. Sheldon Cooper.
Thank you. The university made me come here. I didn't want to. Big fan of the show.
As I said, you've hosted other programs. You mentioned PBS's Newton's Apple. You also did Big Ideas. You've written a number of books like Present at the Future, and They All Laughed. When you look back, I mean, what are some of your favorite memories?
Well, I remember, I guess some of my favorite memories, I got to go to Antarctica. And the South Pole.
I mean,
that was just an amazing trip. It changed my life. It's such a gorgeous and beautiful place, the South Pole and Antarctica, but nature is unforgiving. And if you make a mistake about not being dressed properly and getting out in the cold and not being prepared, it doesn't care about you. You'll just perish and it'll go on to the next person. So so I learned all about that in nature. Mm-hmm. But it's because I'm so interested in how the Earth formed and the history of the Earth. When I discovered that there was coal in Antarctica, I mean, how does coal get, there had to be plants there for coal to happen. Well, hundreds of millions of years ago, Antarctica was not at the bottom there, it was up near the equator, where there was tropical forests hanging out there.
For sure. I mean,
but it's life changing.
It is. It sounds like it. Do you ever think you'll be tired of being the sci-fi guy?
No, I don't.
Because if you said you were, I would have suggested that you change your Instagram handle.
Thank you. No, I don't think I'll ever be tired of being a lifelong learner. And I think that's what our audience is. I think the people who listen to Science Friday, they may be my age. They may not be. We have everybody from kids to senior citizens like I am. But the one thing they are never tired of is learning about new things. And if you grow tired of that, which I hope I never do, I think it's time to hang it up, which I don't expect to do. So
we got to talk about this event, Ira. It's called Don't Be a Stranger. So talk me through the idea of having this conversation about social connection and well-being specifically in our golden years. Why'd you focus on that part of behavioral science?
Because we like when we go to cities and like Chicago, and we'll be in the Studebaker Theater at 5 o'clock on Sunday. But I'm saying this because we're going to have an experiment with the audience there, a survey with the audience there. And when we go to cities and we visit them, we try to find the experts of those cities who we can talk to. So we have two University of Chicago professors who are going to talk about the connection between things that are missing in your lives or the social well-being of your life and your health. Mm-hmm. For example, how often do you see friends and family? Do you have close bonds with people? Can you open up to them? And all these social interactions affect your health.
Yeah.
You know? And even one scientist is going to tell us that even if you're multilingual, if you speak more than one language, there's research to show it can ward off dementia for like 4 to 6 years.
Really?
So there's this brain, body, mind, health connection that we're going to talk about with these experts. And when our audience gets there, we're going to give them cards to fill out the survey, part of the survey of the audience, and see what their brain, body connection is with our experts. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you'll have UChicago professor Linda Waite. You'll also have another interesting topic that you're covering, which is the multilingual aspect,
right,
that you just mentioned. And Viorica Marion is leading that conversation with you. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, that is correct. And we normally, you know, we are discovering how much of your mind affects your body. We know that you have other living things in you. You have a microbiome of all this bacteria and these viruses. Well, your mind, your brain actually dips into that area. So how you feel, how you know, what's missing in your life, it really does connect to how the physical part of your life is reacting, your health.
For sure.
And so, yeah, you get to see that a little bit, but there's a lot of good evidence to support that.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're focusing on your well-being. It's something we talk about quite a bit here on Reset. We've had a lot of conversations, especially recently, about health and social connection. I want to play something for you. This is a part of an interview that we had with Eve Escalante. She's a clinical social worker, and she's the manager of program innovation with social work and community health at Rush University Medical Center here in the city. And she was talking about the country's loneliness epidemic at the time.
One of the things that we've seen during the pandemic is that the ways in which people, or older adults especially, connected organically with people was broken down. And as the world created new ways for us to connect with others, right? So everything went virtual, for example.
Yeah.
We didn't really think about how that impacted older adults. Did we give them the same technology? Did we give them the same accessibility to be able to connect with their neighbors, for example, in the same way?
Yeah, I think that's so interesting, Ira. And I mean, going back to what you were just discussing, I mean, talk more about, you know, some tips and advice that you think, folks in their golden years, as this event is focused on, will get when it comes to their health and maintaining it.
You know, we had the U.S. Surgeon General, Vice Admiral Vivek Murthy had him on a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And when he was on during COVID, talking about COVID, we asked him what would be the next thing you would like to speak and focus on. And he said social health. He talked about depression and now loneliness. And loneliness is really very, a great topic of discussion. And we know, this is the information, the data shows that being socially isolated, especially as you get older, is not a good thing, because it really will affect your health. You see minor ways that people try to take care of this. They even have animals, right? You have a dog or a social dog to keep you a companion. People come to visit you. Isolation is a really bad thing for people my age and senior citizens. So.
Yeah, and it's something that unfortunately was inevitable over the last few years for a lot of us, for sure, with the isolation there. So going back to your childhood, which is where we started this conversation, what is something that you would say you learned about science when you were a kid that you say, this is going to continue to stick with me today and beyond?
I learned that an important part of keeping your interest in science is having some adult who sort of shepherds you through adolescence. Now, as I said before, when you're a kid, when you're very young, you're a natural scientist. But then as you grow up, as becoming a teenager, your adolescence sort of pokes into that because there are other things that get your interest. So how do we keep kids interested in science? And if you talk to scientists or people who are interested, they all had a mentor. I had my teacher, my eighth grade teacher. They all had a mentor or someone who would take you under their wing and make sure that they can help you stay focused on being interested in science. And I think that's something I've always learned, and I've always seen it happen in real life.
What a great life lesson. We'll leave it there. We'll tell folks before you go, though, Sunday, October 29th is the big day. That's Science Friday Live in Chicago. It's called Don't Be a Stranger. It's from 6 to 7:30 at the Studebaker Theater.
Yeah. Don't be a stranger to us. Come on out to the show.
That's Ira Flatow, journalist and host of Science Friday. You can catch Ira and a little bit of me at the Studebaker Theater on Sunday. Thanks, Ira.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
That episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin, and it was edited by Ethan Schwab and Maha Ahmed. Do you love going to events like this? Well, one of the best ways to stay up to date on upcoming events and special broadcasts is to subscribe to our Reset newsletter. Not only do we bring you WBEZ events to your inbox, but events happening all around the city. You can sign up at wbez.org/resetnews. Now that's it from Reset for today. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.